نبی الکریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم stated with regards to such a deed, an action, and that action is such that it is the ruh, it is the spirit of tasawwuf, of tazkiyah. All of tazkiyah, purification of the inner state and soul, depends on this, hinges on this. And as long as a person doesn't implement this action, then tazkiyah cannot be implemented. Purification cannot be implemented and the person fails. Doesn't matter how hard he's working, how much effort he or she is putting in, but that person cannot progress along the path of tazkiyah. Now we are all students, we have all embarked on this journey, so we should have ilm of this point. And the meaning of what I'm trying to say, or the objective of what I'm trying to say, is that the things that are lacking within us, we need to fulfill them. Alhamdulillah, we should attain the rewards of the akhirah, of the hereafter, with the fadl and karam of Allah. Allah has given us everything. This is our objective, isn't it? To attain that reward in the hereafter, the achievement in the hereafter. So today, the point that we'll be discussing is very valuable, that I've heard from our pious predecessors. And we should focus and pay attention to this amal, this action which will complete the tazkiyah. That is clear. Without this amal, an individual cannot succeed. And there's a very famous and popular, well-known hadith in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned this amal, this action. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the best action, best is what? What does this mean, best? That this action in which Allah's fadl, His blessings, His rewards descend, Allah's mercy is there, Allah's qurb and nearness is attained, this is what we call the best deed. That gives that result that I've just mentioned, isn't it? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us this, so it's not some common thing. So what is it? If we want Allah's rahmah, we pray salah, Allah's rahmah, Allah Ta'ala's fadl comes, Allah's mercy comes, Allah's karam comes, Allah's qurb is attained, Allah's nearness is attained. So all the rewards Allah has instilled into this amal, we are beggars for these rewards. We are beggars. That's what we've come to attain, isn't it? When we come to pray salah, we want Allah's grace, His mercy, His barakat. So obviously when Ramadan comes and the fast will come, then we'll leave eating and drinking and sleeping, we'll do more ibadah, we'll recite more Quran. What's the objective? That we can get Allah's fadl, we can get the rewards of Allah, we can get the karam of Allah, we can get the mercy of Allah. May Allah Ta'ala's special blessings come to us, and may we get Allah Ta'ala's qurb and His nearness and the rewards. This is the meaning, isn't it? So, in the same way, every amal, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us a condition, a precondition. And if we do every action where we fulfill the precondition, then we'll pass, isn't it? And this is the meaning of tazkiyah, purification, nothing else. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is the meaning of tazkiyah, that a person attains success, alhamdulillah, and that person takes it into his stride. So what a great favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at this. That what beautiful words, statements, beautiful points he told us, we bypass them. We don't think about these points. And the friends of Allah, the walis of Allah who have done good deeds, the ulama, the scholars, the respectful scholars who've done the work of the deen, that's why there's a high status attached to the respectful scholars, the true scholars, because they are the deputies of the Nabi, of Rasulullah. What a great status for him to attain ilm. We should always respect the alim, the scholar. The alim who is practicing is a great individual, subhanallah. That an abid, the zahid, the sufi cannot compare with an alim who is practicing. If there's an amil, ba'amal, who's a practicing amil, alim, then he is a shining star. Rather, this is the hukm, the order, that never should have, if a person has spoken badly about an alim which is below that person's status, or you've criticized that person or said something bad about that alim, some pious elders say that that person's iman, he cannot die with iman. So today all of us, if we all, for example, oh, look at Mulana Sahab, oh, look at him, this Mulana, that Mulana, this alim, beware, never raise your voice in front of the imam. This is against adab. And with regards to adab, I remember a point which is very essential. If I forget, then remind me that what is that point about adab, about manners. So if I forget, because the topic is something else, isn't it? So we were looking at something else, and this point came in between, that we are disrespectful We are jahil. We don't know who has what status, what level, what rank. So those people who've attained ilm, uloom, knowledge, they have a great status. If you see an alim, mashallah, who's attained ilm, but he's not practicing, who's bi'amal, who's not practicing, rather than criticizing that person and belittling that person, do dua for that person. That Allah Ta'ala, you have given him ilm in his heart, please give him hidayah, give him guidance so he can come onto the path of amal. Practice, he has struggled, his parents made effort, they strived, they didn't send him to another university, they didn't make him a scientist or give him nothing else. The mother and father, they made effort and they sent him to Darul Uloom, they made him study, educate, and the parents, mashallah, they have given a big sacrifice. With time, otherwise everyone else says, my son is this, my son is that, my son is this and that, etc. So what a great point. One, those people have one son, one child. Some people have one son and they've, mashallah, made a sacrifice in life, in the dunya, and they've given Islamic education to their children. And the other, mashallah, if somebody who's learning, attaining ilm, and he's diverting, he's not an angel, is it? So what's our job to do? If he's graduated, he's not practicing, what should we do? Encourage rather than discourage. Never discourage. Never criticize. You see that he's doing something wrong, it's quiet. Quiet. Why should we speak? We have no need to speak. Let's not criticize. Let's not backbite. Will we do amal on this? Yes. Beware. Never speak bad about the people of knowledge. So, the point I was trying to say was that, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one amal, one action. So, we all do the actions and good actions, and our objective is to do good actions, isn't it, in our life? Yes. That we want all our amal to be in such a good way so that we can do tazkiyah with the fadl of Allah. Now what we need to see here is that what is the amal that Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned to us? Is it? Okay? Right. Allah's Nabi ﷺ has stated that the best action to attain Allah's rahmah and fadl and karam, whatever the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has instilled, for example, we said to do dhikr, there are different rewards. We come to pray salah, there are different rewards, isn't it? Every amal, every deed has a different reward. If we've come for dhikr, if we speak about dhikr, there are lots of rewards. And if we do dhikr in the way it should be done, we fulfill the criteria, then we won't leave empty-handed, we'll leave with all the rewards. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. Look at this point, what a great point. And what is this amal now? That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best deed is what? On that deed which a person is steadfast on, consistent on. Say subhanallah loudly, subhanallah. What a great favor of Rasulullah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it could be any deed. It could be any deed. What a broad sanction here. That for example, if you say I'm going to do durood regularly, what a great deed. How many rewards there are for reciting durood. But where do we fail? We pray one day, we recite one day, then we forget the next day. We pray 3-4 days, we recite 3-4 days, then we disappear. So this is the favor of the walis of Allah. They keep pushing us, turning the key, and shoving us and making us do good. And this is the work of the ulema and the walis of Allah, that they push, start the car, and they keep on driving the car, and that car reaches the grave, alhamdulillah. So here, Allah Ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a great system, but we criticize them as well behind their back and speak nonsense. So what do we know? So what could be said that if, for example, you recite 3 times durood sharif before you sleep in the night, is it hard? Now what do you know that when you recite durood sharif 3 times, what are the rewards? Ask those people who all their lives recited 3 times durood sharif and he never left this action, was consistent to this extent, the person attains ma'rifah, nearness to Allah. If by chance, if it happens that he didn't fulfill that action that day, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself comes to that person. I can give an example. The Rasulullah said, why didn't you send durood to me? Oh, what difference does it make if we recite 3 times or if we don't? This is what we say, isn't it? But beware, be careful. If Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq, ability to do an action, then be regular. That's why we go to the mashayikh ikram, to the awliya Allah, because Allah has given us a system. Qunu ma'a sadiqin, we are jahil, ignorant. I will recite durood sharif 1,000 times today. I will do 1,000 tasbihs today. I will read the whole manzil of the Quran today. We do this, don't we? But we don't maintain consistency. But when a person goes to a wali of Allah, a sheikh, a teacher, Allah's put barakah in that connection, that the mashaykh who teach the student, they don't teach them to peak early. You know, Hazrat Sahib, after a very long time, gave me ijazah to pray awabin after Maghrib. I felt like, let me pray this, pray that, etc. It's a waste. So waste. The awli Allah, they know the nafs that he will do for 4 days, then he will leave. And instead of thawab, he will get adab. I was in passion, I wanted to keep fast. I said to Hazrat Sahib, you know, new passion, you're a Sufi, I've left dunya, I want to fast, nafal fast. Then Hazrat said to me, my Shaykh, that if you don't keep the fast, it's better. It's better for you. And the reason for this isn't that reduce your tilawat of Quran. Oh, he's stopping us from reciting Quran. He's stopping us from nafal. No, the teacher, the shaykh knows that this action of his is nafal, extra voluntary action, will become a problem for that person. So with the tariqah method, they will give according to the need, the dhikr or a wazifa or a lesson. So the people of understanding, they are regular and steadfast on that dhikr. And it's thousands of times better than reciting Quran in a big way for a few days and then leaving it. No. We have to be consistent, even if it's a small quantity. So when a person starts to do these actions, and he does too much, then it becomes a burden on his head. He starts to get dizzy, he gets ill, it's too much for him. As a Hakim al-Ummat, rahmatullahi alayhi, shed light on this. He said, someone said, I'm doing so much recitation of Quran, I'm doing so much dhikr, I can't sleep in the night, I tremble, and I feel dizzy. And Hazrat said, why are you reading too much Quran? He said, how can this be that due to the Quran this is happening? But the mashayikh, they know what is the balance that this person needs to do. Is he talking good or is he bad? You want akhirah, isn't it? So Rasulullah has told us a beautiful, beautiful method that be consistent even if you recite it once. Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi has made the deen easy for us. And we, backward, we want to do more and force ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? What do we need? What do we need? Regularity, consistency, steadfastness. And Rasulullah has given us a method that if we start to disseminate the amal and differentiate, and this is what I need to do, this and that. No, Allah says, it be easier than that. Go to my friend. Say subhanallah. Go to my wali. He will teach you and explain to him your predicament. Hazrat, I'm trying to do this. And the shaykh will say, it's too much for you. Do less. And the student says, okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put barakah on the speech of the shaykh. Doesn't matter how much few he gives you. Even if he says, just do a few tasbihs. I swear by Allah, there's so much barakah in the few tasbihs. There is more barakah in the few tasbihs that the shaykh prescribes than the 1,000 tasbihs you're doing yourself. Because he's the doctor, physician. He knows what is better for you. And our function is to do what then? Is to listen and obey. End of story. Be regular. Hazrat, I'll do this what you're saying with steadfastness. Now here, I will give you a method. Subhanallah. Say subhanallah. Steadfastness. What is it that makes us not be steadfast? Not be regular? Why are we not regular in what we're doing? Look how the mashayikh have taken the cure. Because the hakim, the doctor, takes the root cause of the disease. What's the root cause of this illness? Why doesn't this person do action with steadfastness? What's the reason? The shaykh analyzes. So the student makes the stories. He makes the stories. Number one, I'm lazy. I'm negligent. This is rubbish. And number two, what else? I don't feel like practicing. I try a lot, but I just don't feel like practicing. That's a common reason. What are all of these things? These are reasons or excuses that cut consistency. And shaitan is part of this. And there's no basis for this though in Islam. Is there anything called laziness or neglect? Because if you're lazy, then be lazy in everything, isn't it? When you eat pilau rice, you're not lazy. Look how much we eat plates and plates, full plates. If we say, oh, let's go here, there's a good drama, good film going, showing, we'll go. There's no laziness there. Even if we're sleepy, we'll rub our eyes and go, tonight there's a program coming on, there's enjoyment. Even if you're feeling sleepy, the sleepiness will go and you'll sit and watch the program. And our mashayikh, mashallah, they even give the cure if you're feeling sleepy. Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat, rahimahullah, may Allah ta'ala send rahmah and mercies onto his grave, ameen. He said that if due to sleepiness your ibadah is breaking, then there's a method. Should we do it? Put it in your pocket. That takes some black spices. Black pepper. You know the black pepper? Small specks. He said, take a few specks and put them on the tip of your tongue. He was Hakim. He said that this will take away your sleepiness and it will give strength to your brain, to your mind. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at the great methods that the great pious elders have given to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? I was speaking about the ulema and the mashayikh. They have the knowledge to give to us. So be regular. Don't break regularity. So what's the cure if we're not steadfast? Shall I tell you the cure? That look, the point here is that there's no doubt we are busy people. We're occupied in many things in the world. I ask everyone, I drive taxis, then I go to my children, I drop my children at school, then I have to do this, X, Y, Z. Okay, that's fine. Then I do business, and even now we have business online, and then the shop doesn't even close, does it? People who have online businesses, before people had shops and you had to close the shutters and close the shop, close the door. But online, it never shuts, does it, the shop? 24 hours a day, and it's just like the car's running, there's new stock being put on and buying and selling. Look how shaitan has given a person so much love for the dunya today that a person shouldn't even sleep, shaitan says. Yeah, I don't want him to fulfill his sleep. He's taking sleep away. They let him work all day long, 24/7. Such a system, online transactions, e-commerce. The person who's buying doesn't tire, the one who's selling is no time. Christmas season comes, that season comes, Easter comes. Do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is adab. What is this upon an individual? Adab, punishment. That, let me explain to you. This is a very clear point that the pious elders have told us. That to be steadfast and regular, first we need to make a schedule of life. I work, I do online business, transactions, I work, I do transactions, especially the women folk. The women folk, they are very they are tricksters in this matter. They want to be right at the back, isn't it? Because they play games. Oh, it's the children, I have to make food, and I can't do things, and ironing the clothes. No, 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 this is all drama. The cure has been given. Especially the women folk, they should listen to this point, this learning. Hazrat Rabia Basri, rahmatullah, have you ever seen any woman where did she make any excuses? She was, mashallah, a khadima, and even then she prayed so much and recited so much. This is nonsense where people say, I don't have time, I'm busy, I'm occupied. So here, we have to see what is my day full of, what are the activities in my day. And those who are serious, I'm saying clearly, if you don't understand what I'm saying, those who are serious, who desire that we want to do amal on this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so all the amal Allah has given to us, we do all of them with balance, with regularity. And Rasulullah sallallahu said himself that for best of all of the things, everything, you will attain the best as a result. So I will explain to you, it's your choice for you to practice on this, but listen, those who are serious, write this in your, inscribe this on your book of life, that this is nonsense, that I cannot do things regularly. Islam has not restricted you. 10 hours, do it. If you want to sleep, sleep, rest, subhanallah. No one's stopping you from sleeping, no one's stopping you from eating, nothing at all. What is your system that you should have? If you're ill, if you're healthy, for everybody there's a system. So the nizam, the system, that is that to give all actions a schedule. Yes? You understand what I'm saying? It's not hard for you to understand. That put everything into place within a time, a portion time. That your life, all of the timings in your life, the schedule of work and other actions in any field, we need to allot a time frame for them. We need to arrange them into orderly fashion. Do you understand what I'm saying? That your life, you're eating, sleeping, waking up, sitting down, casual, sitting with the wife and the children, everything. Who has told us this? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us the ma'mool, the activity, the actions, not about sin, that I cannot do dhikr, I have to give my wife time. And the Shaykh says, you are right. You do need to give your wife time. There's nothing stopping this. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from Asr until Maghrib in his whole life, what did he do? He kept that time for not for ibadah. What he did, Rasulullah SAW, do between Asr and Maghrib? He went to his wives and gave a little bit of time to each member of the family. Say subhanallah. What Rasulullah SAW has taught us. Amazing. So all life long, we should practice this from Asr to Maghrib. And this is a tight time. MashaAllah, Rasulullah had a lot of barakah in the time the sun couldn't move without Rasulullah's focus and attention. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. But Rasulullah demonstrated that wife and children, to give them time is very important and necessary. And rather here, Nabi Al-Kareem's time was so valuable, he was so occupied and busy, that in 23 years he gave a complete message to mankind. Allahu Akbar. Nowhere in the history of mankind can we see an example of all mankind, not even amongst the other prophets. That's why Rasulullah was Sayyid and the master and head. In 23 years, Rasulullah educated the world what the rest of mankind never in the history of mankind could teach and show. Look, today we have madrasas, hadith, kitabs, Mu'tamar Malik, Usai Bukhari, Tirmidhi Sharif. What is this? 23 years of teaching, education, meted out, distributed by Rasulullah for every individual, every human being, that he taught us even how to urinate, how to go to the toilet. Tell me, how great was our Prophet, that in 23 years, he taught everything, A to Z, the way of life. He and Sharia was coming, Wahi revelation was coming, time given to the Sahaba Ikram, Mu'amalat, how to deal with the people against Islam and the people with the Mu'mineen. The whole universe was in front of him, all events that were recorded until Qiyamah. Sometimes he went to the heavens on Miraj, he came to the earth, and Wahi was coming while he's sitting on the camel, and sometimes while he's laying down on the lap of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqah, the revelation's coming, sometimes in the Hujra, in his different rooms. This is the glory of Rasul, sometimes speaking to the animals, sometimes the stones are given salam, sometimes the trees are being ushered, sometimes the moon is being split. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So busy was Rasul. And that somebody goes, well, what's there? Why are you giving time to your wife? They are just noble women. No, beware. They had a great haq, their great right. These are the wives of Rasul, the children. Don't become Sufi. Oh, I just done tasbih and I do tasbih zikr and I just go home and I fight with the wife and argue. No, the whole time Rasul gave to his wives, to each wife. And if we made this the rule of our life, then divorce and enmity, would it happen? Of course not. Now we go in the night, we just fulfill our needs. I'm busy, I do business, I'm occupied, I'm busy. No, no, no. No. All lifelong, Rasulullah apportioned a time. This is an example I've given to you. One example, the family also has a link with us. And this is also ibadah, to give family time. So if a person gives time in his day or during the week that this time for my wife, then this is ibadah, becomes dhikr. The amal, the deed, the rewards are attained. Great, massive, but we don't do this. That, for example, if your mother says to you, though, look, he's become a slave of the wife, he's running after his wife all the time, he's always embracing his wife and stuck to his wife. Allahu Akbar. I got him married off and now he's just stuck to his wife. Though he's not stuck to her, he's fulfilling the haq of the wife, the rights. But we don't understand. Oh, he should stay with us, he's my putter, my son, he should be in front of me, I want to keep seeing his face, just my one of son. This is a big problem. What should we do? If Allah's given just one, then fine, he hasn't given you two, has he? So you can't split him. So if she's left her home, she has a haqqa, right? Always he's with his wife. He keeps a look at the face of the wife. He's left us. The parents say he's become majnoon, mad, crazy about his wife, mad. And then they make a fight between the husband and the wife. Then they try to control the son. How dare you go to your wife? You can't do this. Give her time, etc. My brothers, rights for everybody have to be meted out. So we have to give time for this. We have to be regular in this. So we have to, in our day, we have to make a timetable. We have to give time to all different actions, family, ibadah, worship. You don't have to do this. I'm not forcing anybody. It's just my job to explain and encourage. So we have to write, at this time I'm going to eat and clothes, wife, children, sleeping, running business, online, offline. Everything, you have to write it down into a timetable. Okay? So you make a list, and in between that you put dhikr Allah, say again subhanallah, and again subhanallah, subhanallah. So the time comes out. How can it not come out? And who and where will you get that time from? You will have attained that dhikr from your sheikh, your teacher. You'll get dhikr from your sheikh, isn't it? If a person has learned dhikr from his sheikh, then you will have to put that time to do your dhikr in your timetable. So it's time for sleeping, this is my time for studying, and this is the time for my business, and etidal. We have to have balance. If you're online, it doesn't mean all day and night you're online. Allah has given hukum, balance. 8 hours you're working, online business, and the, Allah gives barakah, and the rest, give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make Jannah, isn't it? Isn't it Haji Sahab? Don't just stick to your shops, and don't just drive your taxi, and your eyes are closing, and then it becomes like a plane for you, and make it a helicopter, that you fall asleep. Do one thing, if it's in your life, don't just grind it to a halt, that you're just running after that one thing. No. Business, the business is that good thing, if a person's working, 8 hours he comes home and he's with his wife and children, at least he's free from the dunya. For everybody, it's necessary we should follow a time frame. This amount of time I'm going to work. 8 hours, okay, overtime a little bit, 10 hours, okay. But not that you don't have tarteeb or methodology. So write it down, from this time until this time I'm going to work or do this action, if you want akhirah. And if you follow this tarteeb, methodology, time frames, timetable, this hadith guarantees that that will become amal for you. All of those actions in your daily time will become amal to give you the hereafter. Stefan is an tajir. He said that the tajir, the honest businessman, will have the rank equivalent to the martyrs, shaheeds. He's earning money, wealth, and he's given the rank of the shuhada. Why? Because he followed the tariqah, Rasulullah's methodology. He's not mad about business. He's not running after business. No, he's made a methodology. This many hours I will work, alhamdulillah. If Allah gives barakah or not, I cannot work more than this. I'm not going to bang my head on the wall more than that. Okay, when he makes tarteeb, then you do not cross over one scheduled activity with the other one. Otherwise, there will be a penalty. Not that, for example, for dhikr, during dhikr time you do something else. For your children, your wife and children, you are given time and then you do another action. No. Whatever time you have apportioned for an activity, you need to spend that time accordingly, whether you feel like it or not, whether you are lazy in that or not, whether you're feeling sleepy, whatever happens. The action that you sat down for your wife and children, or masjid, or Quran, or hifth, memorization, or the dhikr of Allah, then don't leave that action at that time. Hazrat Rahmatullah stated that in that amal, even if you're feeling sleepy, you'll get the total full reward and thawab at that time. So you have to spend that hour in that manner that you have decided. And we've seen this. Rasulullah SAW, Allah is khabir and basir. Allah knows that if a person does this, the barakah is instilled. And his action becomes full of blessings. And within that time, hour or 2 hours or a few hours, all of the blessings come in. Do you understand what I'm saying? So first make a timetable. Split the timetable into hours or half hours or whatever. And then you allot actions to those time frames. In this time, I'm going to meet this person, work, do this, ibadah. And then you follow that timetable and the activities you've scheduled. And that time where your sheikh says that you have to do these wazaif, these lessons, you have to do that dhikr. It's important, essential. Do dhikr at this time, and this much. And you have to fit that dhikr into your timetable. Then you see I've got 15 minutes it's going to take me to do this, or 20 minutes or 30 minutes is taking me, no problem, no worries. Your sheikh has told you do 15,000 tasbih, then he's given you a had, a limit. Alhamdulillah, what's he giving you? An upper limit. So now if you, for example, have 15 minutes to do this, doesn't matter. If you need to do 15, then 12,000 tasbihs you cannot do, you then do tasbih 15 minutes, end of story. Yeah, but your target is there. That when you get the opportunity to do 15,000, then stretch it. But if you don't have the time, you have the had, then don't mix any other action or timetable period into that. Oh, I'll go to my wife. No. You have to do dhikr. Or what's the point of bringing shopping? Or why? Or is it time to run the business and you do something else that time? No. Don't mix the activities. Who's telling us this? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That's it. Full methodology given to us. Do you understand what I'm saying? And look how easy is this method. So don't worry that if you cannot do 15,000, if he's giving you a target, the sheikh knows. He's going to understand that one day the student will definitely do 15,000. He's got the capacity. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. So when you get the deeds, amal, if he says do 100,000, don't get scared. Rather, straightway go, pray two rakat nafal and say, Allah, I'm so grateful, my shaykh is giving me good news that sometime in my life this will be useful for me. I'll become such a great person that I'll be able to do 100,000 times your dhikr. At the moment now, I've been given ijaz and permission from my shaykh to do 100,000. Subhanallah. So, in the hereafter, I'll be included with those who did this amount of dhikr. Whether I don't know, people say, 100,000, I can't do this, Hazrat, I can't. Allah will say, you are ungrateful. Don't reject. If your sheikh has given you the nasiha, and he said it from his blessed voice, then a great piece of news and announcements will be made to you. The sheikh is looking you inside, analyzing. Allah gives kashf, vision, inspiration to his mashaykh. Because the murids who come, the student who come to the sheikh, they come from Allah's invitation. The Quran has told us this. So whenever you get a bit of heavy dose, and sheikh says, 100,000, do dhikr, then don't just leave it, oh, I won't go Thursday night now, or I'll leave dhikr, it's too much for me, it's too much contribution. What's the point of this? It's foolishness. There's such a great reward you're getting. What do we need to do? What do you need to do? What do I need? That the time that you've apportioned for dhikr, in that time, if you've been given 15,000 dhikr repetition, if you only got time to do 100, then do it in that time. Say Subhanallah. And with this yaqeen, certainty, that one day my shaykh, he told me this, and inshallah one day I'll get to that level, that I'll do my work in my dunya life, and my dhikr 100,000 will also be completed and fulfilled. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. What a beautiful methodology. So let's do dua, that Allah, may my shaykh give me more wazaif, more lessons, more deeds to do. This is not a thing to be scared of, because I can only do that much that I've got the time for. I'm not going to run away, am I? Do you understand what I'm saying? Good. So this is called apportioning the time for deeds in the day, and then you are then become regular. Not that you've made a timetable, you've apportioned the time, you've scheduled activities, and then you're not regular and you're lazy, then you leave things. The sheikh, your teacher's giving you dhikr. It's easy dhikr. What is it? It's ilhami. From ilham, inspiration, bi-idhnillah, that dhikr has come from Allah, that's been given to you. Yes. One is where you select dhikr, you read books, hadith, I'll do this, this, this. If the shaykh, your teacher says, do this and that, then leave everything else. Allah, I have to do this, this be my shaykh's prescribed this for me. This wali Allah came, he said, do this, and Anabiana had this. Many women do this. They keep on counting, chilla, what else shall I do? What are the sapara? What are the juz? They read things. Oh, servants of Allah. Allah has given you a shaykh, a teacher, and Allah, the shaykh is giving you a shortcut methodology prescription. So do that so you can get to the highest. And the wazifa, the dhikr that the shaykh is, remember this, then this is Ismi Adam, alhamdulillah, for every action after that, was even that lesson you can do dua after every action of dhikr. If you've got hajat, needs, you've got problems, distress, job, that becomes Ismi Adam. You're reciting the name of Allah, the great dhikr. It's not necessary, oh, please give me wazifa for rizq, for a job, give me a special potion or dua. When you see people, have you done your dhikr? No, Hazrat, then go. We say, you don't say that, then what about the rest of his wazifas? The one wazifa Allah Ta'ala has given to you, he's given you the job to recite his name, Ismul Adham, then grab hold of it, story, and ask dua through all of those actions that the shaykh has prescribed to you. And that will be the complete dua. Do you understand what I'm saying? Very easy. So you don't need to go to an amil, a magician, exorcist. No. If you're going to succeed, it's from the shaykh's guidance. If not, then you're not going to succeed. The door will open from here, the success will open here, from here, the floodgates will open from here, everything. The dua that Allah Ta'ala has given through the shaykh, the dhikr, the prescription that's reaches to the student, that is the true method for success. And don't try yourself to ask, that becomes a waste. What should we do? Please give me more dhikr, more recitation, more wazifa, more lesson. Can I read this much Quran? Can I do these much more deeds? Can I do awabin? Can I do chasht, etc.? Never. This is extreme bi'adabi and disrespect for the student to say to the shaykh. If the shaykh says, then the shaykh says, well, why have you come to me then if you want to do X, Y, Z and so much? And if you say this in front of the wali of Allah, then you will lose out. Then you will lose out and you should do istighfar and maybe you'll be saved. Just be silent, quiet, carry on with what you're doing. And the shaykh knows when will the time come for wabin, tahajjud for the student, when he will have to do chasht. The shaykh knows all the goodness. He knows each and every one of his murids, that how I should give the prescription of dhikr and ibadah to the student. Please give me more sabak lesson, teacher. Please give me two or three more. Let me do more dhikr, etc. Madness. Foolish person. Foolish student. Just run with what the teacher's given to you. And inshallah, if you do that with steadfastness, the rest of the time, sleep and rest. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's easy or not? Do you like what I said? Do you prefer? And this is called apportioning time and scheduling your activities. Now, I forgot. And one point I'd like to come back to, two points come in here, that as I said to you, that remember adab will come in this, that alongside this with the shaykh, with your teachers, your shaykh, your teacher, ulama ikram, respected scholars, the adab is a very important thing. A very beautiful example comes to my mind, and another point will come out from here, that how our qabirin schedule the activities. I'm giving you a very great example. There were two individuals that are included in this, adheem, great people whose example I'm giving to you. One is Hazrat Mawlana Sheikh Mahmud al-Hassan, Sheikhul Hind, great scholar, great Sheikh, and his student, subhanAllah, his student, who's that? Hazrat Hakim al-Umad, Mawlana Ashraf al-Itanwi, rahmatullahi, who was his student. Now what happened was that once Hazrat gave Dawah the invitation, Hazrat called his ustad, teacher. He said, I feel like that you accept my invitation, I'd like to invite you. So the Shaykh said, okay, I will come. Hazrat Shaykhul Hind, I'm telling you about whom Hazrat Thanvi Ramdar said that he wasn't just the Shaykhul Hind, he was Shaykhul Arab and Ajam. He was such a great personality, you know about him. Anyway, so Hazrat Thanvi Ramdar invited the Shaykh, and you should give dawah. Look at the adab, the manners here. Look at the adab, the manners of the alim, how the student respected his teacher. I'm amazed on this example. 52 dishes Hazrat cooked for his Shaykh Hazrat Thanvi Ramdar. How many? 52 dishes. And our list, we run out, we exhausted after a few. What food must be cooked? 52 dishes were cooked. And then he said, Hazrat, please forgive me that I couldn't understand. My heart was saying, more, make more. There was no room to put those dishes for you. So Hazrat said, why have you cooked so many dishes? He said that, Hazrat, I was so happy. I'm so happy you've accepted my invitation. You've come to my home. I feel like that these 50 dishes are nothing. They're nothing. Look at the love, how much respect and ihtaram, regard for Hazrat, his sheikh who came to his house. This is adab. Now tell me, the people who respect their mushaykh like this, their sheikhs, their ustaz, their teachers, can they remain empty-handed? We should look that we want to attain the manzil. Yes, we want to attain the manzil, the destination that they attain, the Allah's qurb, Allah's muhabbat, Allah's love. And look at our hal, that not one zarra. No, we don't respect our friends, our ustads, our teachers, our mashaykh. We don't even respect our peers, our sheikhs, that we want to compete with each other. When we're in the mood, we speak nonsense. When we feel good, we say good things. When we don't feel good, we say bad things. Sitting behind the back of our sheikh, oh, Hazrat does this zikr, he said this and that. Astaghfirullah. Is this adab? Is this, how can a person attain something? It doesn't matter if you do tasbih 10,000, knock the beads together and they break, you will not attain nothing. Ba'adab ba'naseeb, the person who has respect will have a good destiny. The person who is disrespectful will have a bad destiny. Remember this, 52 dishes he cooked for Hazrat. Then listen further. Then look at how he implemented and what was his mamul after Asr. At that time he had started Tafsir Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat, Rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat Tanwir, he started doing tafsir. So that time came in between. That was the time for writing tafsir. So he was respecting his ustad that come. Noor was there, blessing mashayikh. Alhamdulillah, what light and noor. And he's come to his own house. Would you feel like leaving your teacher and the food? And that, what did Hazrat say? Subhanallah, imagine, what does the ustad say? He said, Hazrat, I need a bit of time. Please give me ijazah. He said, why? And the guest is sitting at home. Hey, thousands of things come. Oh, what will the guest say? I can't do this and that. I'm restricted. And he said to him, the Hazrat, the point here is, the hadith was there, isn't it? That at this time, I have a regular practice and action, Hazrat. If you give me permission, I would like to go and fulfill my task. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look how much he had the courage and determination. I was shocked. I was surprised that the mind, it was shocked at that time, such a great sheikh, he's invited his sheikh, a teacher, he's come to his house and you are leaving the teacher to fulfill your task because his teacher knew as well. Subhanallah, the regularity, steadfastness of time that Rasulullah has prescribed, this is the alim, the scholar. So you imagine the value, if I ask that my sheikh, he will not be upset, rather barakah will also come into this action because my sheikh will also give ijazah. Na'udhu billah, I'm not fake and my sheikh is not fake. He knew his teacher that what a great maqam there is, and he also taught him hadith. And he is the person who taught him tafsir. So he couldn't even think or contemplate that my teacher will dislike my request or refuse it. So he was trembling. He was a little bit shaky and said, Hazrat, that I have a task at this time. I'd started something. At this time, from this time to this time, I've kept that activity between these times. Subhanallah. So that time has come now. If you can give me ijazah permission, if I can go and do that, so I can. So Hazrat saw him. Wow, what a great student of mine. Say Subhanallah. The dunya will be proud of him, Hakim al-Ummat. And today, both are being mentioned in this masjid in Bolton, Subhanallah. And we jahil people are mentioning them. Subhanallah, karam and mercy will upon us that we are listening to such words, and I'm speaking and you're listening. A great mercy will upon us. What a great point. So his teacher looked at him and he was so happy and he was joyful and said, why are you asking permission? Go straight away and be regular in what you're doing and fulfill your task. So Hazrat went, but he had love in it for his sheikh. Love is love. When he went, he didn't spend the whole time. He said, the amount of time you can spend, do it. But be regular and don't break that practice. Don't break the schedule. Say Subhanallah. I'm trying to explain you the point that if your sheikh has given you the ijazah to do 1,000, and you know in that time that you can't do that much because the time for the wife is coming, then leave that action. Then go towards your wife at that time. But do the action, then finish it, then go. Some people say, oh, if I leave and I tell Hazrat, you'll be upset. And then if I do dhikr, I don't go to my friends. I had such a sheikh whose tarbiyah taught me everything. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah, I understood everything. That's why until today the folk at home, my family members, they're not upset with me. They might not be happy, but they're not upset with me. Subhanallah, why? Because they knew that this time I will do my things. Alhamdulillah, I give the time to my wife and children. I will never break the schedule. There's no complaint from the family members. Totally not at all. And they couldn't even think that he's a Sufi, he's teaching dhikr, that they don't know anything. They just think that he's with us all the time, mashallah. Because when you apportion a time and schedule a time, you give that time, then they'll think that you are with them all the time and there will not be no fight or dispute. They said, no, we have no problem, you are with us, and we eat together, we sit together, we do shopping, we discuss things, Subhanallah, such barakah, such blessings, that I pick up the bags of onions, I bring the shopping myself and meat, and I bring the minced meat, and we make kebabs, and we cook and we eat. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand, Haji sir? Say Subhanallah. So what is this? This is the truthful company of the sheikh that takes effect, and that's how a human becomes a balanced and true human being. And people remember, Alhamdulillah, that yes, they look that his sheikh, who is his sheikh? So become like this, that you'll be asked tomorrow if I'm not here, and they'll ask you, who's your sheikh? MashaAllah, and you can answer properly. And they should realize that, yes, this person, had, he is good, and alhamdulillah, I'm happy, extremely happy, that in previous days I spoke about salah, mashallah, mashallah, many people have become regular in salah, mashallah. Tell me, do you enjoy now? The afzal time, that break time, hasn't it made improvement to your salah, to join in the beginning? Just listen and practice, listen and practice, everything will become easy for every individual. Nothing is hard. Getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not difficult at all. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, remember two things. That is a great hadith that I'm telling you. And Rasulullah has asked dua that Allah, don't include me in those people that I am just worrying the way I came. May not be that I go back to my old ways. So never leave this silsila through waswasa, whispering of shaitan, shaitani influence, or any other action. Go solve your issues with your shaykh, or waswasa's coming, the problem's coming, and issues coming. This is, take this out of your book of life that, oh, I'm going to run away. There's nowhere to run to, remember. There's only one place. Straight we will run into Jahannam if we run away from our teacher and the prescription that he's given to us. I'll tell you the truth. You've got a path, straightforward, solve your issues and make your life easy upon easy. That's it. We have no need to run away from the prescription and the guidance we can. But if we get the guidance, we should do amal on this. Make time frames. What a beautiful example I'd like to give to conclude what I'm saying. You understand everything what I'm saying? That how we should allot times, make a schedule, a timetable. And beautiful example, our pious elders have said that put a stone down, you'll experience this yourself. Put a stone down or a rock. And on that rock or stone, put it under the tap. And then open that tap so the water gushes out with speed and force. And half an hour, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, then close that tap. Then come the next day, open the tap forcefully, then come in the evening. A year will pass, the rock, the stone will be the same size and dimension. Subhanallah. The pious elders said that do this, that put that rock and stone in the same place and open the tap slightly, so drops of water slowly drop into the rock. But let them continue. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Then see that rock stone, how it erodes, and the hole will come and the erosion will occur. It will deform. It will become different shape. Why? Because when you opened the tap and the water spread out, then you closed it, then you opened it and closed it. But subhanallah, the person who takes on one tasbih, 1,000 repetitions of Allah's dhikr, but whether he's in a dream, whatever conditions, in on a journey, in a plane, traveling, wherever he is, wudu, without wudu, do that tasbih. Don't leave it. A woman, a sister, we saw, heard about, a Ajib woman, she got married, she was a girl. And when she got married, Hazrat, the dhikr, the tasbih that you gave to me, the time of my, it was my marriage night, you know, the first night, she said, I said to my husband, can you just wait a minute? Subhanallah. What a great point. She said, what happened? She said, just, nothing's happened. Just my sheikh, my teacher's given me, was here and gave me, told me to be regular, give me ijazah, that I can just do this tasbih. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Can we imagine this? Think about this. There are women like this. And our women, oh, I have to do this, children, and knead the dough, and cook the food. This is nonsense, because they don't have a desire to attain Allah's name. Those who have desire, after today, make a practice like I've explained to you. The amount you can do, do it. Don't break it. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So if there's a rock or a stone, and the water is dropping on it, drop, 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 and the erosion occurs, subhanAllah. So when a person does a bit of tasbih daily, and he performs that and he implements action daily, then the erosion will occur. Allah's love will come into that person's life. Allah's marifat into the heart. Allah's nur will come into that person's life. The nur of the deen. So do dua that Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq, ability, that whatever we've heard today and discussed, we can practice this, me and you and all of us. Ameen.